Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Tony Hawley. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Gary.
Tony, for those who listen to News Tribune's podcast, may recognize that voice as the host of our Goal Lines.
Correct.
Football podcast, but Tony also serves another role here at the News Tribune as copy desk editor.
Correct.
So his role in the newsroom is, if you imagine, we've got, about a half dozen reporters, we've got some photographers, we've got some sports reporters and designers and editors. Tony manages our news and features copy desk. So, Tony, kind of walk through how stuff gets to you.
Well, it just depends on what things we're talking about.
Okay.
So if we're talking about local copy, generally that will come from, obviously, our local reporters by way of yourself as a kind of a first line of editing, and then it'll come to me for a second line of editing, and then that's typically when we've determined that it's ready to get in the paper. If we're talking about something from the Associated Press, Wire, or one of our other Wire services, then that's something that I can pull as well. You can pull. Anybody who sees something can let us know about it, you know, and say, hey, I was looking through our wires today and saw this. This story is kind of interesting, but basically, it just depends on if it's a local thing. Obviously, it comes from one of our personal reporters. If not, it's something that comes from one of our wire services.
Right. At our Coffee with the Editors and other events, I mean, I think there's sometimes some confusion as to how the magic is made every day, right?
Sure.
There are any day from 20 pages up to 60 pages, 64 pages, actually. And so let's talk a little bit about the local news. We have, as I mentioned, about six reporters that are news and features that cover events and people here in mid-Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, when we start looking about stories out of St. Louis, Kansas City, you know, Minneapolis.
Sure.
New York, et cetera, they come from the Associated Press.
Correct.
So give a little bit of a background what the Associated Press is.
Okay. So basically, the Associated Press is, there's hubs that have different reporters there who cover certain things in certain areas. Like we in Missouri have some that cover primarily some in the capital that then do some in Kansas City and St. Louis. And then they kind of branch out as needed.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, people may be aware of the story about the collapsed building in Davenport, Iowa that happened last week. That's my hometown. I paid really close attention to that story. And one of the things that was interesting about that is because AP's kind of gotten a little bit smaller in terms of the overall number of people that it has reporting on things. One of our St. Louis reporters was heavily involved in covering stuff or tracking down certain parts of that story to help out the Iowa people on that story. So it is kind of one of those things where you look at it and go, okay, yes, there are hubs where we have certain things that get covered a little bit more because they have people there, but then they'll also branch out and help other people in other areas as necessary, depending on the severity or magnitude of the story.
Absolutely. Well, and another aspect of it, too, is newspapers like the News Tribune is a member of the Associated Press.
Sure.
So, frankly, we pay them to use their stories. They also can take our stories and share them.
Sure.
As they may have done during the tornado.
Right.
So it's a kind of a unique partnership there, if you will. So every day, there's a new budget. It's a constantly evolving list of stories that's available.
Sure.
Tony comes in around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon when his day begins because our news cycle for the print paper is the designers, the sports folks, they come in around that time because they're shooting, they're in this marathon to get to the finish line by 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Right.
Almost every night. Tony, so kind of walk through how we gather this content from the Associated Press.
So basically, every day they'll put out what's called the News Digest, comes out a couple different times during the day. As merited, they'll update it, add new stories to it. It's really kind of their idea or their starting place as the, here's the highlights of the things today from a national level, from an international level. Here's the kind of the best stories we've got. Now, it's a rough guideline, and sometimes it's just based on the way that news happens. Happens continuously throughout the day. It's a very loose guideline because that will get updated throughout the day. And they typically will send a, you know, a digest at 7 a.m. They'll send another one at 2 p.m. They'll send another one at 6 p.m. And then they'll send another one in the morning around 1:30 a.m. But that's not the only time stuff's happening. So a lot of times there will be stuff you kind of have to monitor the web. I mean, that gives you a good point. It gives me an idea of, okay, if we've got three world pages for tomorrow, say, here's the stories that would slot into that definition. And are we going to have enough? Are we not going to have enough? Does that then become another national page because there's not really much going on the world level. But there's always that kind of niggling feeling in the back of your head that something else is coming. You don't know when it's coming. You don't know if it's coming for sure, but it might be. So you do have to kind of monitor the wire as it's going throughout the day. It will refresh. They'll send stories. Sometimes those stories will then be reflected on later budgets. Sometimes they don't even put them on. And sometimes those are the more interesting ones. So you've got to kind of always be double checking to make sure, okay, what's happened? What's moved in the last hour? What's moved in the last 2 hours to make sure that something really interesting or something that our readers might find interesting doesn't get skipped by just sheer happenstance.
Right. And I think that's an interesting point. I mean, it's not as if there's a chronological order there of what stories have to be used.
Sure.
There's a judgment there as to what stories should receive play in the paper and what ones shouldn't. So how do you make that decision?
Well, and from my standpoint, a lot of times you'll get that digest. And again, it gives you their idea of here's our best stuff. Sometimes you'll look at it and go, oh, that does sound interesting. Then you'll get into the weeds of reading the story and going through it and go, boy, that really did not come together. Or that's not as great as I thought it was going to be. So there are a lot of times where I'll have a loose guideline of, hey, we're going to put this on our first national page and I'm going to put this on our second national page. Then you'll read those stories and you realize, boy, this one is dull as ditch water. So you just cannot use it. So you kind of spike it, move on to the next thing and say, okay, what's going to be maybe the next most important thing to use or what's a suitable replacement? So a lot of times it is, you have an idea, you have a great plan in mind, and sometimes the plan gets shot. It just is one of those things where you have to be willing to adjust and willing to adjust on the fly. And part of it is having to kind of copy edit those stories as well to make sure that they're clean and ready to go in the paper. You get a chance to see everything that is going to be. And it's not like you just said, hey, put this on your page as a designer because this one sounds interesting. Well, I've read it. And if it isn't interesting, then we come up with a new plan.
Right. And that whole planning actually starts around 5 o'clock. So at that point, Tony and I will sit down and we'll have laying before us basically the dummies, which is kind of a sketched out representation of how many pages we have.
Correct.
How many ads are in the paper. It will denote which ones are sports pages, which ones are business or local or whatever the flavor of the day might be. And so then we'll talk about what we're going to put on the front page. So Tony, share with them your perspective of how we decide what's going where.
Well, I think the most important thing that you always have to keep in mind is what are really the important stories. And by important, that doesn't just mean in terms of global impact, what's most important to our readers. So I think a lot of times there can be things where you go, okay, here's something coming out of the Capitol today that the governor did that's very important. Yes, it's important to more than just our local readership, but I would argue sometimes we have to balance those concerns with, there may be something that happened. It's one small little meeting that happened here in town that our readership will find extremely important. So while it might not be as important as something as the governor did, it is probably also worthy of being on the front. Right. So there is a lot of that give and take where you go, okay, what's going to be get the most readership? What things have to be there? But there is also that in the back of your head where you're thinking, okay, this doesn't happen a ton, but I think a good newsman will always kind of have in the back of their head, we're kind of the record of the day. So in 15, 20, 25 years, if you're at a rummage sale and somebody's selling a bunch of old newspapers and you look at it and you go, hey, what was the record of that day? You would hope that that would be kind of a snapshot of what was the most important things that were happening on that day. It's not just going to be what would fill a hole.
Right.
You got to kind of balance it with what is important enough that our readers need to do it. And in some small respect, not as much as it used to be, but there is still some of that mentality of what's going to get people to pick it up off the newsstand. If they see this story or this story on the front page tomorrow, are they going to put their money in the machine and pull that out so they can read those stories? So it is kind of a fine balance of all those things.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that in the newsroom here, we've got papers from centuries ago.
And
it is sometimes just interesting to stop and just see how those decisions were made.
Sure.
So, I mean, the way we approach it is around 5 o'clock, we'll usually local, regional stuff trumps everything else.
Sure.
And then once we've slotted or scheduled our local stories or regional stories, then what's left is our wire hole.
Right.
That we try to apply the best of AP to. And I think that's often a hard thing for some folks to understand. They recognize these are big national stories that are on page 8.
Right.
You know, instead of wiring on the front page.
Right.
There are times, though, I would think you would agree, where we have that discussion. Is this worthy of the front?
Correct. Correct.
Or how we could promote it on the front in our skyline?
Sure.
So there are a variety of ways we can approach it.
And I think it's an interesting question, or maybe the readers look at it from the standpoint of like, well, that was important enough to be on the front page because that's more important to me, which I get that everybody's going to bring their own perspective to things. But I kind of look at it from an old school newspaper man's sensibility, from the standpoint of, I think I always used to read the paper from front to back. So everything got read. So the fact that it was in there is important in enough in of itself. And yes, just because it may be something that may be important that it appears on A8, it maybe could have been on A1, but it's also on A8 and you should be reading A8 anyway.
Exactly.
I think there's a reason it's in there. We are kind of the curators, I think, more than anything else, of all the different news things that are out there from a variety of sources. And if we're telling you we found it worthy of getting in the paper, it doesn't matter on what page it's on, it's still worthy of being read, because I think it's still worthy of that attention. So it's just a matter of, you know, I hear a lot of times, why is it every day we have, you know, another story about the Russia-Ukraine war? Well, because I think that's very important. And I think, you know, yes, some days it does get bumped to the front because something momentous happens. Some days it's back on B8 or B9 or B10. That doesn't mean it's not worth reading. And I think some people are like, well, it's the same story day after day. It's not. There's nuance to it. And I also feel like it can be tiresome from the standpoint of, it's like, yes, we have to hear about it again. But I do feel like it's one of those momentous things that needs attention every day, because if we're not careful and Russia just says, we're going to annex this person, guess what? They're going to go annex the next person and the next person, the next person. So the fact that it's in there, yes, can be tiresome if you feel like you've read the same story day after day. But I feel like that's especially is a topic that has to get attention. And yes, someday it gets kicked to the front. Some days it sticks inside, but it's still important regardless of where it's at.
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest criticisms I hear of our wire coverage is the whole mainstream media, how it ignores some stories, plays up others bigger. What would you say to those folks?
I would say, as someone who's been doing this for a long time, I don't come at it from a standpoint of whose agenda is going to be furthered. I am reading things and determining what gets in there based on how good the story is. If I've got a choice between here's two different stories about two different things and one's a better read than the other, guess what? That one's always going to trump the other one from the standpoint of, is it interesting? Is it compelling? Sometimes it's just as simple as, oh, I've never heard about that before. I consider myself a fairly well-read person. And if I find something that I go, I've never heard about that particular issue before, guess what? That may trump something that you would want maybe on your agenda to be furthered by running a certain story on a certain day. So it's just, sometimes it is just a matter of what's the better story on a certain day. I don't see it from like, okay, well, yesterday or 2 days ago, we ran a story saying this side of it. Let's make sure in 2 days we get this side of the story. To me, it's more compelling about, is there a development that's noteworthy in each story, or is the story itself just so compelling that you have to run it?
Yeah. I think sometimes it's also a no-win situation because
sure.
Sometimes people confuse the whole idea of things they may have heard on cable TV, where
sure.
It's opinion versus news stories.
Absolutely.
That truly should have both sides of the argument in there, should really look at all sides of an issue. And I think that sometimes the lines get blurred.
Absolutely. And I think it's gotten harder as the years have gone on when, you know, I lean this way or I lean this way, and I'd like to see more coverage this way. Well, now it gets even more confusing from the standpoint of, well, if you're only looking at it from your news sites, as we've gotten kind of more siloed, it's gotten to be the sort of thing where, okay, I heard about this on what I was listening to this morning. Well, okay, but you didn't hear the other side of it that was on something that you're not listening to.
Right.
So a lot of times we have to try to take that perspective as well and go, okay, yes, this came out, but has it been verified or has it been fact-checked? And then if it has, great, then we'll run with it. If it hasn't, that's, I think sometimes discretion is the better part of valor in that instance.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, I mean, you always have to be vigilant also. We've talked about this in the past with any media source, to really look at it. And one of my professors always referred to it as reporter's voice. Once you start seeing the reporter's biases in the story, then all of a sudden the trustworthiness of the story is questioned.
Right.
Right? And so I think we've had a longstanding policy here with our Associated Press coverage where we do edit them. If something doesn't sound right or it just doesn't ring true,
right,
we do edit it out.
And I think that people have to bear in mind too that as someone who gets to hear both sides of it, they are not often privy to it. A lot of people will come to us and say, oh, I didn't like that story. Well, guess what? We have also heard a lot of times from the other side saying, oh, I didn't like that story.
Right.
And if that's the case, then guess what? The story was good. Because if it's angered both sides, you know, I spent my first 22 years at the newspaper on the sports side. And what I always enjoyed hearing was people would come to us and say, you give Helias too much coverage. coverage. And then the highest people would come and say, you give JC too much coverage.
Right.
And I thought, perfect, we're in the sweet spot. Because if we're angering everybody, then guess what? You're doing it right. And so I think it's real easy for people to say, I didn't appreciate that story because I didn't like it. Well, guess what? Other people may not have liked another story that we ran. And that balance is kind of means we're doing a good job if we're doing it properly.
I'm also a big fan of the idea, too, that if it's good for you to hear the other side.
Sure.
So you can learn from it. You can perhaps have a little bit of empathy or at least an understanding.
Sure.
As to what they are alleging or what they're wanting to promote.
Right.
I think we do hear from both sides.
Sure.
And we welcome that too.
Yeah.
This is a great opportunity to hear what readers have to say. The door is always open to listen to suggestions, to write a letter to the editor.
Sure.
My email is gary@newstribune.com. Drop me an email or we'll have an upcoming coffee with the editor. We would love to have you come by, talk with us about what you like, what you don't like, and maybe we can help explain why we've done things that we've done. So we're going to take a quick break here. I want to share a little bit of news. We've got a coffee with the editor coming up on June 21st at Oscar's Diner. This is a great opportunity for you to come by, share your thoughts about the paper, about the community, what you'd like to see, suggestions for things that we should cover. Again, it's 8:30 a.m. Coffee's on me. Come by and we'll meet at Oscar's on June 21st.
Again, everybody knows that the newspaper business is in a tough point in history. And I think the worst thing that you can have in terms of that is to have an apathetic readership. I like it when people are kind of engaged and want to write and say, hey, I read this story and I didn't like it. Or, hey, I read this story and I did like it. Because that just means that we're still promoting a product or we're producing a product that actually has some worth and has some viability in this odd landscape that we're in. Because I think the worst thing would be to put out something every day and never hear back from anybody about anything. So I think the fact that we've got stories that are one, worth reading, and two, worth engaging with to the point where you do want to talk about them or do want to raise concerns about them, I think is fantastic. It just bodes well for all of us.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Tony, I'm going to tell you to get back to work. We got some copy to
read, buddy. I've got plenty to do.
All right.
Always do.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.